Welcome to Iran Radio, dear listeners. I'm speaking to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And here are some interesting facts about the Holy Quran. In total, 25 prophets are mentioned in the Holy Quran in different chapters. Prophet Moses, or Musa in Arabic, peace be upon him, is mentioned 136 times in the Holy Quran, making him the most mentioned prophet of all in the Holy Book of Allah. The literal meaning of the word Quran is the which is being read. The word Quran is repeated 70 times in the Book of Allah itself. The month of Ramadan is the only month of the year mentioned in Quran in verse 185 of chapter Al-Baqarah, or second chapter. Our next program is For a Better Life, a practical ethics program focused on Islamic values in everyday situations. From relationships to discussion making, we break down moral guidance into steps you can actually apply. Following that, it's time for one more segment of our radio productions. And then we return to the majestic words of Quran with Let's Recite the Quran. Coming up next, For a Better Life. Stay close.
This is For a Better Life. For a Better Life.
فرمود بعثتو لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
Peace and blessings to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of For a Better Life. This is Nahid, having the honor of hosting you on this episode, where words from wisdom's gardens meet the fragrance of faith. Today, we begin with the timeless voice of Saadi Shirazi, the Persian prose writer and poet, who wrote in his book of Gulistan, "He who esteems himself highly shall be lowered, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Saadi's words fall like rain on the heart, gentle yet awakening. They echo a truth we all must face. The more pride fills the heart, the less room there is for light. Pride is one of those hidden diseases of the soul. It grows silently, feeding on our small successes, our social recognition, and sometimes even our acts of goodness. A person may begin to think, I am better, wiser, stronger, more righteous. And that whisper, that tiny whisper of I am, that is the echo of the first arrogance in creation. The arrogance of the devil who said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and him from clay. The story of pride begins not on earth but in heaven. And ever since that moment, every human heart carries the possibility of both, to rise in humility like Adam, or to fall in arrogance like the devil. Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, the fruit of humility is honor, and the fruit of arrogance is humiliation. True greatness, dear friends, isn't about being seen above others. It's about being seen by God and being pleasing to Him. Saadi tells the story of a king who walked proudly beside a poor man. When the king sneered at the man's tattered clothes, the poor man said, O king, I'm not less than you, for both of us are sons of Adam, and our ends is the same dust. The king was silent, and that silence was the moment his soul was humbled. Humility doesn't mean weakness, it means clarity. It means knowing that whatever beauty, wealth, or strength we have is only a trust, not a title. Now, pride blinds the soul. It turns worship into performance, charity into self-display, and knowledge into vanity. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had said, pride is a veil that covers the heart. It prevents the servant from seeing his own flaws. Now, how many of us have walked away from advice because of pride? How many apologies have we died on our tongue because of it? Or how many times do we remember that pride whispers, you are right, you don't need to change? But humility whispers, perhaps you could have done better. The second whisper, the humble one, is the voice that leads to spiritual growth. Now, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was the most humble of men. He sat among his companions as one of them. He ate what they ate. He mended his own sandals, and when someone entered the room, he didn't demand them standing for him. He stood for them. He once said, "No one humbles himself for the sake of Allah, except that Allah raises him in rank." In the path of Shia's spirituality, humility isn't only a moral value, it's a sign of divine closeness. Imam Ali alayhi salam was called the Lion of God, but he washed the feet of orphans and fed the poor with his own hands. That is real power, not dominance, but service. Now, in today's world, we are constantly pushed to show, to prove, to shine. Social media teaches us to curate perfection, to collect admiration, to live for likes and followers. But Saadi would ask, of what worth is a mirror that shows the faith, but hides the soul? True humility today might mean listening more than speaking, helping quietly, and remembering that the unseen blessings like sincerity and kindness are more valuable than the visible ones. Every humble act builds a ladder to heaven. Every arrogant moment builds a wall around the heart. Now, why do we bow in our prayer? Why do we prostrate our foreheads on the ground? Because each time we lower ourselves before God, we break a piece of our pride. Each time that we whisper, "You, O Lord, are great, and I am your servant."
ارتباطتون رو با خدا قوی کنید. در مسائل دینی به نقاط عقلانی و ظریف.
Improve your connection with God. Pay attention to logical and detailed points in religious issues and learn them from great masters. There are sentiments in religion, but they rely on deep ideality and deep thought. This thought must be learned.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, known for his humility, used to weep in his prayer, saying, "My God, I bow not because I am pure, but because you are merciful." Humility purifies the heart faster than any sermon because it connects us directly to God's mercy. So how can we live this teaching? Here are a few reflections that we can remember and review together. Like speaking less about ourselves and more about gratitude. It's the opposite of what we have been taught in today's media, but it works. Regarding our religion, this is working for us Muslims. Accepting advice even from those younger than us. Again, the pride might say ignore them or show off that you're older, you know more. But our religion, the religion that has been guided and had the lantern and the flag bore by the Prophet who would stand even for the children, we as the followers of him are supposed to listen to all people. Serve someone without them knowing. And remembering our mistake, not to shame ourselves, but to stay human and forgiving, even when we could win. Each of these is a small act of humility, and together they transform a soul. Saadi concludes beautifully, "He who knows himself as he truly is has no need to boast. The river that is deep flows in silence." Let us then be like the river, deep, calm and nourishing. May we walk the earth lightly, speak gently, and serve sincerely. And about this serving, the point is that sometimes we're serving other people, but in a way that we are at the same time showing ourselves and our ego as well. And the point that our imams have been mentioning and highlighting is that while we're serving, it's better that we stay unknown. I mean, it's okay that we imprison our ego for the sake of being the servant of Allah, the Almighty. So the moment that we imprison our ego, that nafs al-amara, that part of ourselves who wants to shine and show off every single deed, that moment we are following the way of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who would feed the orphans and who would wash their feet without them even recognizing him as the Imam. Now, dear listeners, our worth is not in being above others, it's in being close to God. Humility is not a weakness, it is a strength that heaven recognizes. So tonight, before you go to sleep, think of one moment in your day when you could have been humbler, and tomorrow, leave that moment differently. Because every time you lower your ego, you raise your soul. Now, from the gardens of Sa'di to the wisdom of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam, may your heart stay light, your steps gentle, and your faith deep. Until we meet again, I wish your hearts the calmness and the sincerity and this humble feeling of being a true Muslim. We wish you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart that will always be there. Be there.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیبه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
matter how old you are, games are an integral part of human life. Games are one of the most important adventures in our lives because of our desire for excitement and challenge. Many believe that games play an important role in children's understanding of life. But do all games have this advantage? There are more than 100,000 board games in the world. These games only require a few pieces of paper, a couple of dice, and sometimes a table.
Board games give people the opportunity to sit around a table, look at each other face to face, and actually enjoy each other.
In many cafes around the world, people of different ages gather together to play a board game. These board games may not be worthy in case of people's understanding of life, unlike physical games, but they can reveal some secrets of life to us.
I played games with my family growing up. We didn't have a TV, which I know is a shock and horror to the world, but it made us play more, do more things together.
Almost 1 billion people of the entire population of the world have played Monopoly during the last 100 years. Monopoly is a kind of board game that has easy rules, but it is so attractively designed that could last 39 hours in one case. This board game was designed by Charles Darrow in 1933. In this game, players start purchasing empty houses by rolling the dice and moving the token, and then by developing these houses, collect taxes and fines from the rest of the players. After that, players expand their property so much that no one else has the power to compete with them, and finally, all competitors go bankrupt. This is the exact moment when a monopolist is born. This is the time when the concept of monopoly is formed. In this scenario, one person's victory depends on the loss of others. In 1923, Walter Elias Disney was 22 years old. He went to Hollywood with $40 in his pocket to fulfill his dreams. Ray O. Disney and Walter Elias Disney started to make animated cartoons, and then the Walt Disney Studio was established very soon. 5 years later, Walter Elias Disney, with his colleague Oob Iwerks, created one of the most famous characters of all time, Mickey Mouse. A mouse that has become one of the symbols of the Walt Disney's company and world's animation industry. A more important event happened for this company 4 years later. The Oscar Academy presented Walt Disney with his first of 22 Oscars for Flowers and Trees. 9 years after this award, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs appeared to be the turning point in the history of animation. On December 21, 1937, the first long animated musical in history, made on a budget of $1.5 million, was released. The release of this animation took place at the height of the American economic recession, but it managed to break the record of $8 million in sales. If we calculate that figure at the current price, it will be equivalent to $130 million. Since then, Walt Disney has become the largest animation producer in the world, and this film company has made a huge profit by making dozens of memorable cartoons. This process continued after Disney's death in 1966, but an important event took place in 1995. While nearly 70 years have passed since the production of Disney's traditional 2D animations, and a year before the animation of The Lion King was able to sell more than $430 million at the box office and receive an Oscar award, a 3D animation challenged Walt Disney's dreams. Toy Story was produced by Pixar and under Steve Jobs' supervision. This animation attracted all the viewers. It must be mentioned that Pixar wasn't a very famous company at that time, so Pixar became a serious competitor for Walt Disney. However, Walt Disney executives decided to be in charge of the release of Toy Story in cinemas exclusively. Walt Disney's partnership with Pixar continued until 2006. In these years, Walt Disney faced a noticeable drop in production. In this period of time, two companies, Pixar and DreamWorks, ran the world of animation with their creativity. Although the solution to this crisis seemed very expensive, but Walt Disney's managers decided to take a strange action instead of competing with Pixar. The cost of this solution was a check of $7.3 billion, which made Pixar one of the subsidiaries of Walt Disney from then on. Walt Disney became the predominant player in the profitable animation market again. Since 2006, the production and sales of Walt Disney products have been accompanied by growth. Some of the most amazing animations in history, like The Incredibles, Up, Zootopia, and many others, have been produced in this short period of time up to today. But Walt Disney's monopoly process was not limited to the animation market. $16.5 billion is the approximate figure for the sales of superhero movies of Marvel Studios since 2009. In the same year, Walt Disney took over this studio. Marvel Studios, like dozens of other small and big studios, are now Walt Disney's subsidiaries. In 2019, more than 38% of the total sales of American cinemas belong to Walt Disney because of its monopoly. This share was obtained in the situation that, in 1990, about 15% of this market belonged to Walt Disney. And if the growth of this company continues at the same speed, it seems that in a decade, half of Hollywood films and animations will be produced by this company. In the last three decades, Walt Disney has come to the conclusion that, instead of spending time on new ideas and plans, it is better to buy new companies and their ideas at once. It doesn't matter if this company is Steve Jobs' Pixar Studio, Lucasfilm Studio that owns the Star Wars film trilogy, Marvel Studios and its big team of superheroes, or even the famous 20th Century Fox, which was wholly owned by Walt Disney in 2019. The more important thing is that there are no more competitors. Just like Monopoly board game, Walt Disney rolls the dice like a winner in this game. The rest of the players have to continue playing and pay their rent.
Today, the Justice Department's antitrust division approved a huge purchase. Disney is buying up most of 21st Century Fox's assets. This is a $71 billion deal. The decision comes after Disney upped its offer this morning for Fox's movie studio, sports networks, and cable channels.
In Monopoly board game, one player precedes the others and starts to purchase houses and hotels. This process reaches a point that this player's properties become so big. From then on, whenever he rolls the dice, one of the players goes bankrupt. Finally, after a few rounds of the game, everyone is forced to sell his property to the monopolist and say goodbye to the competition. No one has committed a crime, and apparently everything is legal. Throughout the game, everyone competes fairly. The result of the game is the formation of a monopoly. When U.S. petroleum exploration and production industry was born, John D. Rockefeller managed to get all the oil pipes flowing to his refinery in Ohio and the Standard Oil Company within 15 years. John D. Rockefeller's great power and wealth helped him to have a lot of influence on the railway network, and the railway tracks were laid under his orders. He lowered the price of his products and no one could compete with him. American Track Railroad Company was afraid that John D. Rockefeller would stop working with the company so that the company would go bankrupt. Such a chain had become a great monopoly for the Standard Oil Company. In 1888, Senator John Sherman, who was from Ohio, declared Antitrust Act. Since then, anti-monopolistic activity has been declared illegal. However, from the very beginning, big companies started to circumvent this law and, of course, interpret it in their own favor. The result of these actions was the use of the Walt Disney Company's method. This method was as follows. Instead of fair competition, take over the competitor or choose the second method that has become so powerful that no one can eliminate you or compete with you. United Express used the second method. Dr. David Dow was dragged off the United Express flight number 3411 by Chicago O'Hare International's police officers on April 9, 2017.
This morning, NBC News has obtained surveillance video from the United Airlines gate in Chicago that appears to show Dr. David Dow boarding his flight to Louisville 2 weeks ago.
Police to Charlie 3.
And the radio call sending security officers to Dr. Dow's plane when he refused to give up his seat for airline employees.
Any information? Were they drinking? Were they doing anything like that?
No, it's something with an oversoul, an involunteer, or something like that.
The tickets for this flight were overbooked, but Dr. David Dow refused to leave his seat because he had to treat his patients the next day.
On board, Dow's attorney said he's...
Passengers of the flight recorded a video of him being dragged down the aisle. One can also hear unhappy voices in the video. No one could believe his eyes.
Have you watched the video?
Later on.
What's that like to watch?
To cry.
You can hear you screaming in pain.
I don't know.
This video went viral very fast. But the general manager at United Express didn't apologize and charged and accused Dr. Dow of aggression instead. Finally, public complaints made United Express's CEO to apologize, and the airline reached an agreement with Dr. Dow, the content of which was never revealed to the public.
What happened to my dad should have never happened to any human being, regardless of the circumstance.
If such a disaster had happened publicly in the past, it would have caused United Express shares to plummet. But this time, everyone forgot the case very soon. Financial analysts said the incident initially had no impacts on the performance of United Express, which reported total net income of $2.3 billion in 2017. After this incident, it turned out that passengers have no choice but to fly with United Express planes due to the merger of airline companies and the reduction of competition in most flight paths. For this reason, the protests and rumors against this company disappeared very soon, and everything returned to normal. There is no competitor for United Express in the American sky except for three other ones because of the excessive size of this company. Of course, these three competitors have each taken their share of this cake and continue to operate by dominating some of the airports. For example, the United Express company owns many of the largest airports in the United States. The share of this company in airports is as follows: about 60% in Houston, 51% in New York, 43% in Washington, 38% in San Francisco, and 31% in Chicago. These numbers are more strange in other airlines. For instance, Delta Airlines owns 80% of the share of Atlanta Airport. Passengers have no choice but to fly with Delta Airlines in many cases. Now suppose a passenger has to go from Atlanta to Florida and he's not satisfied with the quality of the flight. Does he have any other alternatives? Let's review Monopoly board game once again. Two players have bought and created so many properties that there is no room for others, so it is better not to enter the game and leave it. Can Banker question these two players' activities? No, he can't, because this is the rule of the game. During the Cold War and even after the collapse of the Soviet Union, there was a difference of opinion between the supporters of the socialist and capitalist economy, and they had to deal with this question: which system is better for people? In socialist system, there is no competition between factories, and there is not supposed to be any better one. In this situation, the consumer is always harmed by the low quality of the products. In the capitalist system, competition is the main issue. In this situation, everyone should try hard to produce a better product at a lower price and take over the market. It seems that consumers always win in this market, although this is only the appearance of this economy. But behind the scenes of the capitalist economy, they are the owners of the companies who get the main profit. In capitalism, not everyone is supposed to be the boss, and there are only a few big bosses, and everyone else works for them. In the capitalist system, small studios must be under the control of big studios, small airlines become part of large companies, and small shops are substituted with chain stores, and people enjoy this process. This kind of new monopoly leads to the emergence of billionaires such as Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and many others. We know just a few of these rich people, and it's good to know about some others. For big companies, it doesn't matter what kind of product they produce. The important thing is that they are the only producers, even if this product is a zipper. When we talk about Japan, we think about technology, audio, and video equipment. We also think about streets with large screens and high-speed internet, and also people who are always busy with their cell phones. But in Japan, apart from IT and high-tech products, other things are also made, which have a history richer than such products. YKK has been producing zippers since 1934. This Japanese company produces more than 7 billion zippers in different types every year and owns almost half of the world market.
Davis, Lou, Goliath, this very same place that we'd be at. Passing through the same times, this land been a victim of countless crimes. From crusaders, mongers, to the present aggression. Then the Franks, now even the cruel oppression. If these walls could speak, imagine what would they say. For me in this path that I walk on, there's only one way. Bullets may kill, bones may break. Still I throw stones like David before me, and I say,
try not to cry.
No pierdas la fe, la sé, la calma el que hace. Agua de la arena, y tú que te levantas con orgullo entre las piedras. Has hecho mares de este polvo.
Yeah, I throw stones at my eyes, for too long they've been dry. Plus they see what they shouldn't from oppressed babies to thighs. I throw stones at my tongue, cause shit's a really keep its peace. I throw stones at my feet, cause they stray and lead to defeat. Couple of big ones at my heart, cause the thing is freezing cold. But my nub's still alive and kicking, unstoppable on a roll. I throw bricks at the devil, so I'll be sure to hit him. But first at the man in the mirror, so I can chase out the venom.
Little boy, shining ahead. Just another kiss and out to get some bread. Not the first murder, nor the last. Again and again, a repetition of the past.
Since the very first day, same story.
Young ones, old ones, some glory. How can it be? Has the whole world turned blind? Or is it just cause it's only affecting my kind? If these walls could speak, imagine what would they say? For me, this path that I walk on, there's only one way.
Bullets may kill, bones may break. Instead of those stones, David, I say,
bullets may kill, bones may break, still I throw stones. David, I say,
try not to cry.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. Inshallah, in this episode, we will be continuing from the verse number 6 of Surah Nuh. It's the 71st chapter of the Noble Quran. It's in the 29th juz, or the 29th part of the Noble Quran. And this Surah Nuh, it actually talks just a little bit of a context, and right exactly where we are reciting this, the verses, it talks about the efforts that Prophet Nuh had and the avenues he took in trying, and struggles he had in trying to spread the message of Islam and spread the message of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his people, and all the difficulties he faced in this path. So I'll ask Brother Ali to kindly recite for us verse number 6 and also verse number 7 for us from Surah Nuh. Brother Ali?
Yes. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأسروا واستكبروا استكبارا.
أحسنتم. A beautiful recitation. At the verse number 6, for يزيدهم, right? Tell me which one is the correct correct recitation. يزيدهم or يزيدهم?
The second one.
Second one. What was the difference between the first one and the second one?
The first one was the normal recitation, but in the second one, we have an echoing sound on the letter dal.
On the letter dal, exactly. So there was an echoing sound. Pay attention to it right now. Yazidhum. Yazidhum. You see that? Yazidhum. And that echoing sound is actually the ruling of qalqala. Yes. Ruling of qalqala said that when any of the letters, qutub, jet, qaf, ba, ba, jim, and dal, any of these letters, when they have a sukoon on them, we, in order to distinguish the sound of one letter from the other, we give it an echoing sound. فَلَمْ يَزِيدُهُمْ, right? And then, for the next ruling, look at دُعَاءِ. What kind of a mad? There are two meds, first of all, in this word. What kind of a mad is the first one and the second one? Please enlighten us, Brother Ali.
The first mad is wajib muttasil.
Mm-hmm. So how many stretches?
6.
Very good.
And the second one is jaiz munfasil. That exactly. Is 4 to 5.
4 to 5. Or you can even go up to 6. That's not a problem with that.
Yeah,
either.
It is optional.
Exactly. So, فَلَمْ يَزِيدُهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. Now, that brings us to the next ruling, فِرَارًا. Tell me which one is the correct recitation, فِرَارًا or فِرَارًا?
The second one.
Second one. Why is that so?
Because ra is a tafkhim letter.
So, ra is not always a tafkhim letter, but if we apply tafkhim on ra whenever there is fatha or dhamma. Either on Ra or before Ra. Sometimes Ra is with Sukoon. In that case, we don't know exactly whether it should be recited with Tafkhim or Tarqiq. We go look at the letter before Ra. We look at if it is Fatha or Dhamma, we do Tafkhim on Ra. Otherwise, if it's Kasra, we do Tarqiq. And Tafkhim and Tarqiq, the difference is that, and simply put, I will say Tafkhim is when you make your voice heavy and round your mouth, and tarqiq is when you flatten your mouth as if you're smiling when reciting. And the default recitation is tarqiq, and only for specific letters, the tafkhim letters, we apply tafkhim. Correct?
Yes.
Alright, so we spent quite some time on verse number 6. On verse number 7, I'd only emphasize one small point, and then we'll move on to the next verse. وأصروا واستكبروا. Now keep in mind, صاد and سين, their مخرج is different, right? When you recite the two different, the two letters, they're different. ص س. And also صاد is one of the تفخيم letters, and it must be recited with a rounded mouth and a heavy sound, unlike سين, which is supposed to be recited flat, right? So it shouldn't be وأسروا واستكبروا. There is definitely a big difference between these two, صاد and سين. It should be وَأَصَرُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا. Focus on the mouth. وَأَصَرُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا. Aside from the fact that صاد has a whistling sound to it, and سين is a flat S, right? The مخرج is also different, and also the تفخيم and ترقيف.
فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي
But my invitation increased them not except in flight.
وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا.
And indeed, every time I invited them, that you may forgive them, they put their fingers in their ears, covered themselves with their garments, persisted, and were arrogant with great arrogance.
I'll ask Brother Hassan to please recite for us verses number 8 and 9 of Surah Nuh. Brother Hassan.
ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ إِجْهَارًا ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا.
Ahsantum, a beautiful recitation. Keep in mind that whenever there is Hamza, the cutting sound, it's a very common thing. إِنَّ شَانِيَكَ or إِنَّ شَانِيَكَ.
Second one.
Exactly, the second one. Because the Hamza does not convert to ya when you're joining the two letters. You have to give the cutting sound. Thumma inni. Not thumma inni. Right? It sounds as if it's connected. Right? Thumma inni da'awtuhum jihara. Ra again, tafkhim. Thumma inni a'lantu lahum wa asrartu lahum israra. A'lantu. A'lantu. Right? Why do I have a ghunna? Why do I make a nasal sound with a little bit of a stretch on the noon of a'lantu? Can you tell me why, Brother Hassan?
Because you're applying the ikhfa.
Ikhfa, that's correct. The ruling that I'm applying over here is ikhfa. Ikhfa says that whenever noon sakin or tanween is followed by any of the mouth letters, in this case, ta, right? We, first of all, silence the sound of noon, right? And then we give it a ghunna. Ghunna basically means what? A small stretch and a nasal sound. Originally, it would have been a'lantu, a'lantu, right? However, after application of the ruling of ikhfa, the correct pronunciation would be a'lantu, correct?
Yes.
And I think, Brother Ali, when you were reciting, I forgot to point it out, you made I believe there was a small mistake when you were reciting verse number 7. وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. I think I heard you saying لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ, right? There is
yes.
a fatha for لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. Keep in mind that's also a tafkhim.
ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا.
Then I invited them publicly.
ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا.
Then I announced to them and also confided to them secretly.
In the interest of time, we have Brother Ma'asum and Brother Hussein. I'll ask them not to recite two verses each, but rather one verse each. Verse number 10 for Brother Ma'asum and verse number 11 for Brother Hussein. Is that fair enough, Brother Ma'asum and Hussein, or would you protest against this?
No, sir, it's okay.
All right, so in the interest of time, Brother Maisul, verse number 10, please take the honor.
فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا.
Brother Hussein, can you recite verse number 11? And I'm going to mention the points of both the verses together.
يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا.
أحسنتم. Very beautiful recitation, both of you brothers. MashaAllah. Now, with regards to the verse number 10, Brother Ma'asum recited فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ. Why not فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ? Because there is an alif at the beginning of اسْتَغْفِرُ.
It's because there is Hamzatul Wasl.
Okay, so that is Hamzatul Wasl. That's correct. Now basically what it means, what it says, that whenever this istaghfiru comes at the beginning of your recitation, whether it is after waqf or at the beginning of the verse, however the case is, what you have to do, or I should rather say the correct thing is that when it comes directly after waqf, right, you might continue reciting the verse, connecting two verses together without waqf, and still the aliful wasl would be silent. However, in this case, when you're reciting without waqf, the aliful wasl would have no sound to it. It's just basically silent, as if it doesn't exist. But if you were to begin reciting from aliful wasl, then you have to look at the harakah that follows it. If it's fatha or dhamma, you give it what harakah?
Kasr.
If it's,
you say it fatha.
If it's fatha or kasra, I'm sorry.
If it's fatha or kasra,
we give it a
kasra.
Istaghfiru, right? But if it's dhamma, what do we do?
Dhamma.
We give it a dhamma, correct?
Yes.
فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. And then the verse number 11, just one point. Keep in mind, مِدْرَارًا. There are two rulings applied over here. One is the قَلْقَلَة مِدْ. Midrara. Originally it would have been midrara, but then with the echoing sound with the qalqala, midrara. And the two ra's in this word, again, they are the ra's of tafkhim, a rounded mouth and a heavy voice.
فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا.
And said, ask forgiveness of your Lord. Indeed, he is ever a perpetual forgiver.
يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا.
He will send rain from the sky upon you in continuing showers.
Let's recite these verses together from verse number 6 onwards. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا
وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا
وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا
ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إصرارا
ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم